that strikes fear into the heart of the elite war room. Here comes Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're about to get a military expert in here to talk about potential false flags and everything that we could see after the election or even inauguration of Trump, sabotage him. But first, ladies and gentlemen, here is a Democrat operative talking about the ballot harvesting schemes that they run in elections from the Mug Club, right from their own mouths in clip two.
Like the whole thing with the dome when they was counting. That was the big thing here, was the counting of the ballots at the dome. It was all counting the ballots, and they told them that it was weak on the opposite side of the dome. Everybody needed to evacuate. So then when they all left, the Democrats went back in and started counting. The Republicans went back to the headquarters. They didn't know.
You know that for a fact?
That's what happened. Yeah.
They made it seem like nothing had, like they legitimately had weak issues.
Yeah, so they was... had said it was leak issues, so you see them on the video putting everything, you know, putting everything up, and they left. No, they put some of them put stuff up, and then you see them leave. Then they was out in the parking lot when I guess they told them they could come back in. Or they was out in the parking lot and they was gonna go back to headquarters, and so the Republicans left, the Republican watchers, they all left. So after they left, the Democrats went back in there and started counting. So that's the videotape. You see them when they're walking back in, pulling the shit out from underneath the tables. And during that hour, and then the other thing, the other part was that when they were counting, I think during that hour, that stretch of that, it was only like less than 100 votes was counted for Trump. And just statistically, you're downtown, there's going to be more than 100 votes for Trump. That's what happened about in 2020, because that's when the ballots, and they started stuffing the ballots, and people stuffing the ballots, and they got videotape for them. But you know, nobody talks about it. They want it. That's why Trump been making that big deal about it, because you see it on videotape. It's like, come on. We see the man pull up and put 100 ballots in his box. You know, you can't do that shit. So Bruce is paying people to do just that. Drop off ballots. Go around, collect ballots. Collect absentee ballots. Drop them off.
How did that even
work?
Where, okay, so if you're paying someone, I'm not trying to do this, trust me, but if you're a group and you're paying someone to pick up the absentee ballots, do people take their absentee ballots to the orgs? And then the orgs distribute the pay. That's confusing. It doesn't make sense.
No, it's like, let's say you're my canvasser. I tell you to go around and pick up these absentee ballots from this area. You know, you go pick them all up and drop them off in the box. You know, no different. I pay you every week like the canvasser. You just get paid like the canvasser. You know, you're on the clock for hours and many hours, driving around, picking up absentee ballots and putting them in ballot boxes.
What information do you need to actually know that these are certain areas that have a lot of absentee
ballots? Oh, I mean, well, that's the case. You would either have to reach it, some groups were reaching out to folks beforehand, so they were passing them out to the people and then coming back in the mall. Going down to a senior house,
yeah.
Give everybody a ballot and come back and collect all their ballots and turn it in over. And then you take the ballots and then drop them off.
And then the groups would have whoever, the canvassers go and pick them up and then take them straight.
You can't do that. That's the illegal part. So think about it like this, if you're going to steal an election, let's say Georgia, this is the perfect example. If you're going to steal an election here, you're not going to go to the outside of the Democratic Party, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to go outside.
Yeah, he says all of this while he's wearing a United States of Black shirt. So, yeah. That's what goes on in Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen. But we already knew that. Hey, but don't worry. The Republicans are telling you the Hunter Biden laptop is real. Thank you. Thank you. 2020 election news today. All right. My guest is in studio, Dale Comstock. We've got a lot of interesting things to discuss coming up next.
Many of the supplements available at the alexjonesstore.com are the latest cutting edge, highest rated game changers that have been discovered through research. And that's wonderful. But many of the products there are known, tried and true staples like elderberry. It's just that ours is high quality, very strong, concentrated, and at a competitive price. Especially if you get more than one bottle, then it's some of the best prices you'll find anywhere. And your purchase funds our operations against the globalist, a 360 win. So get your concentrated elderberry, particularly right now in the fall and winter, and you take it as a preventative ahead of time. And what the wives' tales said hundreds of years ago, now with modern science we know, it boosts your immune system, it's antiviral. So now, high-quality ultimate elderberry, scientific name, Sambucus, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. It's good for your body, and it funds the InfoWar.
Comstock's bio here, and it'd be too long to read. Just tons of military, paramilitary experience all over the world. I mean, a world traveler still to this day, traveling all over doing podcasts now. He's here in studio with us. Official American Badass on Instagram or DaleComstock.com. Actually, was that the website you guys had pulled up there too? Pull that back up for a second. I need to double see what I just saw, actually. And are you a professional bodybuilder too?
I was a competitive bodybuilder, professional boxer, among other things.
That's no joke. Well, we might have to talk about some health stuff, too, because yeah. That's important in this election.
Yeah, I've got a PhD in natural health and alternative medicine, so I do a lot of nutritional
stuff. Wow. Okay, we'll definitely talk a little bit about that. But I want to talk about when we kind of first sat down, when introducing one another, we were both sitting here cringing over the idea of 4 years of Kamala Harris, like rightfully so. And they paint this picture like, oh, you're a misogynist or whatever it is. Well, not really. It's more of a pragmatic thing, saying I don't want a leader that's going to be viewed as weak around the world. Forget about what American men think about Kamala Harris. When she goes to the Middle East or she goes to some of these other countries, they're not going to respect her as a leader. Straight up. It's just not going to happen. And so beyond what I think is cruel and unusual punishment of 4 years of Harris, her on the world stage, what do you think that looks like as somebody that's been around the world, been in the military, seen this before? I mean, do you think she gets the respect in Saudi Arabia? Do you think she gets the respect in the Middle East?
No, actually, good point. You know, I've either traveled to, lived in, or worked in over 101 countries. In fact, currently, besides the United States, I actually live in two other countries. So I kind of travel around quite a bit. I've got a lot of time in the Middle East over the years, and I do a lot of business over there. And I remember years ago, I wanted to bring one of my ex-wife to one of the business meetings, and it was actually in the Emirates, and I was advised not to do that. It'd be a bad idea. I said, why? You know, well, you're going to be sitting down with, you know, many Arabs, and they're going to frown upon this whole thing. You bring in a wife, a woman to a meeting, which, by the way, she was pretty intelligent. And there's this culturally, you know, everybody thinks, you know, America has this culture that everybody else tries to, well, we try to push our culture on everybody else. And what they don't understand is, we're not all the same. And so I don't think she'll get that respect. And there is, you know, call it whatever you want, misogyny, machismo, I don't know. You know, the Arab culture is a little bit different. It's a male-dominated society. I live, you know, like I said, in Southeast Asia, and it's the same thing. It's more of a male-dominated society where women are more subservient. They do observe gender roles, you know, and my wife is Asian. And by the way, I'll add here, since we're on here, my wife is Indonesian and Muslim. I have three black children. I have a Hispanic child and I have an Asian child. So anybody wants to call me a racist white guy, good luck with that one. But the reality is, even in Asia, you know, their gender roles are very strong and they seem to work. And the Middle East is kind of the same way. So will she get respect? I don't think so. You know, and if you really look at history, I always tell, you know, when women say, oh, you know, we're all equal, you should respect her. She's the president, you know. Well, she's going to be the commander in chief. You know, since the time of recorded history, it's estimated we've had over 12,000 wars. And show me one time where women have, you know, basically amassed an army to protect their country and their children and their husbands and fought another army of women or men ever. They're not of the warrior mindset. And this is genetics. This is really based on our DNA. You know, we are designed differently. Men are protectors, providers. And I said that earlier on Alex Jones' show as well. You know, our job is to protect and provide. And I've kind of put out a, if you will, a call of action to men in America. You know, play a role, man. Be a protector, not just a provider, be a protector. And you don't have to be a soldier, but you should be a warrior, you know, and stand up for your rights, for your children, for your family, for each other. Because we have a government that has gone rogue and they forget who they work for. They actually work for us. And we are not letting them know that, no, you actually work for us. And we are quite capable of pushing back and squashing you and ridding you, if you will, of this tyranny.
And that's why they want weak men.
Well, exactly. And that's if you think about it culturally, you know, toxic masculinity, there's no such thing as toxic masculinity. You know, I would argue there's caustic femininity. And, you know,
there's
caustic that, you know, and then we have the, you know, we have the betas and the simps that support all that. But at the end of the day, you know, society needs, you know, masculine men. We need men that are protectors and they're willing to stand for their children, their families, their friends, their neighbors, and for the, you know, the American ideal. And all of that's just been eroded over the years. In fact, I was speaking to a gentleman earlier about my time in the military. I've actually retired in 2001. So 23 years ago is when I retired. Now, that's when I was a soldier. I'm still a warrior. But he asked me, why did I get out? And it's quite simple. What we're seeing today didn't start in the last 4 years. In fact, one of the reasons I retired the Army back then is, and I'll give you a couple of incidents that happened. One, you know, I remember General Shinseki, who was the Secretary of Defense, Secretary of the Army, came down to Fort Bragg to a ceremony at USASA, Green Berets, and he looked around. He's just fascinated by all the Green Berets. He goes, you know what? I want everybody to have a beret in the Army. So give everybody black berets. And we're like, sir, you know, the Rangers have black berets. He goes, well, I'll take it away from them and give everybody a black one. So this is why the Rangers now have brown berets. And why do you want everybody to have a beret? To feel good. Right. So that happened. Then they took away. Then they added the stress card thing. Right. So basic trainees, the drill sergeant was yelling at
you. It was like the participation awards.
Yeah.
Now.
You pull out a card, you know, a stress card, and a drill sergeant had to leave you alone. You can't yell at him. No, you're hurting his feelings. Then they didn't have to pass a physical fitness test in basic training. They can come to you fat and out of shape. And it was my job to get them in shape. And then, you know, then I had a water team in Special Forces. So, you know, we did a lot of surface infiltration, water ribs, rubber boats, surface swimming, over horizon stuff, riverine ops. And suddenly there was no swim standard, right? So a guy can go through Q course and cannot swim. And I thought, well, what happens if, you know, a guy shows up my team can't swim, but tomorrow I got to do a real world water operation. What am I supposed to do with this guy, right? So they kept bringing the standards down on every level. Ranger school, that's another one, you know. So, oh, yeah, we are women passed through Ranger school. Well, you know what? I'm still on the inside track, and I can tell you that those women got a free pass. They didn't earn it.
I've never even heard of that before, the military stress card. This is the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah. No, that was actually a real thing. Yeah, it's a stress card.
Somebody hurts your feelings.
Yeah, you just pull out your card, holding up, and the drill sergeant had to shut up and leave you alone.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
No, that's the thing. That actually happened. And
well, and now you're talking about the testing standards, which, of course, they've had to lower, and then they've lowered again. So first they kind of lowered it because they wanted more acceptance. Then they lowered it because they were trying to get women into all these different positions. They'll probably have to lower it again for transgender people. But, you know, it's funny because, and I want to kind of get into this compare and contrast with the sports world too. But imagine if you're a quarterback and they say, well, we need to do some diversity here. And we're going to put a woman at left tackle. Okay. We're going to put a woman at left tackle. Well, you're about to get your block knocked off. You're going to have a linebacker coming around that edge and he's going to knock your block off. So you wouldn't accept it in a football game. Why would you accept it in the military?
Yeah, you know.
The quarterback's going to say, oh, really? Little Sally Susan at 110 pounds is my left tackle? I'm out.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I remember I was on a show with Alan West one time when he had a show up in Washington, D.C. He actually brought me in to discuss, you know, women in combat arms at the time when they were, you know, talking about doing that and wanted my opinion on it. So I've served, you know, 20 years in the Army. I was an infantryman in the 82nd Airborne Division. I was a Green Beret. I was a Delta Force operator. And then, you know, I worked for the Alphabet Company for almost 10 years after that. I've got a lot of field time, and I've worked around bases with women. And I can tell you, you know, the what women will say is men need to learn how to keep their, you know, their penis in their pants. I'm like, you have no idea. It's actually the women that are very promiscuous in those environments, right?
Well, you know, I've heard similar things, but really it's just like, what do you expect? I mean, the same thing happens in any world.
Right.
It's a big issue, even in the WWE world. Whenever you're in a room with the same people and you're traveling all the time and it's just like, that's your world. I mean, you know, people have sexual desires.
Yeah.
Especially in that world where it's like heavy masculinity, like, you know, you there's a drive.
Yeah. When I went to Desert Storm, so I was on supporting George H. Bush's detail, security detail with the Secret Service. And we stopped in Torreon, Spain. And it was kind of a layover military base and a refuel stop, blah, 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 blah. We went in this hangar and there was an area cordoned off and had about 40, 50 women, all of them pregnant. They were all soldiers coming back from Saudi Arabia to the United States. They were all pregnant, got pregnant in Saudi Arabia, right? And by the way,
from American soldiers?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, and the war hadn't even started yet. So, you know, what they were doing is they were getting pregnant to get out of serving abroad,
okay.
Right? So they get a pass to get out of there. So they, and then there was prostitution going on, literally, you know, it was insane. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen the problems that are caused when you integrate women in combat arms. And I try to explain to people, you know, like, for example, if I had a 12-man special forces team, an A team, maybe I had two women or one woman on the team, right? Whatever. And I'm out in the jungles of, I don't know, you pick a spot, Guatemala, and we're going to be out there for 2 weeks, right? So it's not like we're going to go camping. When we go out there, everything we live off of is in our rucksack. I got ammunition, I got water, I got batteries, you know, everything is in my rucksack. We don't sleep in hammocks. We sleep literally, we call it nut to butt sometimes. Literally, you cuddle together just to stay warm because you don't have enough warm clothing with you. And then when you have to use the toilet, it's not like you get to go off in a wood line 100 yards somewhere behind a bush. You do it right there in the middle of the group. Why? In a plastic bag. Why? Because you're going to take the stuff out with you. There's a lot more that goes into these types of operations than the average person understands out there. When you do a mission like that, you don't leave behind sign. You don't leave a turd behind in toilet paper, right? So you have a woman. She's going to have to drop her trousers right there in front of her belts and do her thing, just like any dude would. And then, you know, like I mentioned a minute ago, nut to butt, sleeping, huddling together. You don't think any funny stuff's going to go on? Probably after about a week, so you're not going to want nothing to do with it because she's probably going to stink. But the reality is when you're working in close proximity like that, men are going to be men and women are going to be women. You know, that's just how it is. And you can't always blame the men because I found that women have been able to successfully leverage their sexuality to get favors from certain people, get money. You know, there's a lot.
Happens in all walks of life.
Yeah, and men compete, right? That's what we do. And so it creates more discord than anything else. But, you know, now, of course, Kamala Harris is not going to be in the field sleeping nut to butt with any of us. But thank God. But, you know, the reality is, you know, you said respect. And I don't believe, you know, people will give they'll respect the position, the office. But as her as a person, as a leadership, she probably won't get that. Well, what is she going to rely on? She was, what, a attorney general somewhere? You know, that's it? That's your combat experience? That's your military experience, you know? And you're going to tell us, you know, how to run a war, and you're going to make decisions about young men's lives, you know, and women's lives? Come on.
Well, again, you send her to negotiate for the United States or represent the United States in any of these world meetings, any of them, or meeting in China or anywhere in the Middle East, it's going to be a lack of respect. It's going to be a situation where they want to have the upper hand and take advantage. And obviously they know with Donald Trump, they can't do that. And it was even kind of that way with Obama too, where they would roll out the red carpet for Donald Trump. I mean, they would have ceremonies for Donald Trump, for God's sakes, just massive, because they're trying to woo him. They're like, hey, this is a serious negotiator here. We got to treat this guy like a king so that, you know, when we get into the negotiating time, he likes us a little bit. They're not going to do anything like that for Harris.
No. And there's a paradigm shift. If you think about it, you know, you look at where we were in the 50s, 40s, 50s, you know, 60s. You look at our military, you know, we were guys that were fit, trim, you know, hardcore obstacle courses. Now 70% of the male population is not healthy enough to join the military.
Probably couldn't even do an obstacle course.
But now you look at the Chinese, the Russians, the Arabs, the Middle Easterners, you look at their armies and they're doing what we did in the 50s and 60s. Their guys are, I mean, they're training their boys to fight at a very young age. It's like, you know, because they respect masculinity. Okay, that's part of the culture, the masculinity. And we've gotten to the point where we've watered it down because it's toxic, and we've emasculated men. And so what we have is a lot of males. And this is why I've been saying, I've actually said this all day long, is men have to start being warriors. Start being a man because you're a protector and a provider. And stop being a beta, stop being a simp, and stop, you know, hiding behind your wife. You know, get out there and do the right thing. Man up. You don't have to be a soldier, even if you were never a soldier, but every man should be a warrior. You should be prepared to fight for what's for your friends, your family, and for your country.
Well, and we could get into the health aspect of this, because I'm sure you're aware there's all kinds of things in our environment, in our food, that reduce testosterone. I mean, there's all kinds of issues with that. We can maybe get into that later. But, you know, getting back to the masculinity thing, I look at a couple situations here, again, dealing with geopolitics. And you just had a woman elected to be the president of Mexico. You had a woman elected as a representative in Italy in a leadership role. You know, these are kind of what's left of like cultures that they still consider to be like masculine, right? The Italians, the Mexicans, and now they're putting women. It's almost like a little bit of a cucking thing that's going on there. And I liked some of the policies of Meloni in Italy, so it's not even like a political thing. I worry that that's the agenda here as well, to put a woman in charge of the United States and then just completely reduce the men, the masculine, you know, just reduce it to rubble, just completely from the top down, release the leadership role, the masculine role of men in the United States just down to rubble. Because let me tell you something right now, you're not going to see that in China.
No,
you're not going to see that in Russia. And you're not going to see that in the Middle East. Zero chance.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know what the agenda is. I mean, it's the West. It's not just the Americans, but the West. And they all seem to have this agenda where we've got this notion that we're all equal. I got bad news for you. Men and women are not equal. Not all men are equal. Not all women are equal. And so this idea that women are as equal to men and everything, well, you mentioned sports already, right? Women are getting her. So you got women competing against men, you know, these guys that, you know, whatever you call them, these, you know, fruitcakes.
they're called transgenders, I think.
They got so many daggone letters in the alphabet, and I can't keep up with it. But, they're out there pummeling and beating the hell out of women, you know? And, so where's the equity in that? Where's the equality in that? There's none. And so I think there's a bigger agenda at play. It's not just, you know, the United States. You know, I'm sure you've talked quite a bit about, the 300 and, the cabal. And that's a thing. It's not a conspiracy. It's a thing. And I happen to have some information on that on a personal level. But there is an agenda by some very elite people in this world to basically dominate the rest of the world. And Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, many of the leadership in different countries, they're just puppets, man. They're just puppets to these other guys. You know, think of the World Economic Forum, Schwab and Soros, you know, Bilderbergers, those that actually have some long.
Yeah, there's a man. The way, because I, you know, the challenge of what we can get into here is making it palatable or making it consumable for the average American, right? So, a lot of people will immediately turn it off and they'll just go with the conditioned CIA conspiracy theorist response. A lot of people, it will just kind of go way over their head. They can't even comprehend what you're talking about. But basically, you know, the way I try to make it consumable is to say, look, there's a bureaucrat management class. It kind of comes more from the corporate world than the political world. Yeah, you've still got some players with geopolitics and stuff. But it's a management class. It's a bureaucrat class. They look at Earth like they're managing a lifeboat, say, and everything is finite and everything needs to be rationed. And so what they're trying to do is make this rationing corporate bureaucratic management system worldwide. So for like a global government, you're not born into a free country. You're not born with any rights given to you by God like you are in America. No, you're born into a system of management bureaucracy where your whole life is basically already determined. Everything you get access to is already rationed. And I mean, you know, okay, maybe you're not out in the field in chains getting whipped, but you're essentially a corporate government slave at that point.
Where's your freedom, right? So, you know, people are just handing their freedom over to the government and everybody else. And once you hand it off, you're not going to get it back. There's no way to get it back. It's just like socialism, you know, and communism. what you can vote yourself into. The only way you're getting out, you're going to have to shoot your way out, you know? And, you earlier you mentioned something about, you know, masculinity and what's going on. I think there's a big part of that is, related to the foods that we eat. The average man today has 50% of the testosterone men had 20 years ago in his grandfathers. What's going on there? And I have some theories on that as well. But, you know, there's men are becoming weaker. They're becoming more males than men. Being masculine is frowned upon. It's, you know, you're heckled. You're like a freak because you're trying to be a man. And men are, a lot of men are shamed in the from being men, and they want, you know, they're trying to be, you know, more find their feminine side to them, you know? And so here we are, the protectors have been neutered, you know, and we have, you know,
chemically neutered. Now they're actually physically neutering themselves.
Yeah. And socially neutered. Right. I mean, literally we've been emasculated across the board. I mean, many men have, you know, and it's the sign of the times. Plus, you know, we don't, you know, when I grew up, I mean, I'm 61 years old. When I grew up, we played street football. We didn't have games and phones and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I do think about that, too. And maybe that's, you know, that's actually a big topic of conversation. I wonder what it's even like to be a kid now, right? I mean, I don't have kids that are high school, elementary school age, so I don't know what these kids are doing. But it's like, I'm only 35, but even me, I mean, that's what we did. We rode bikes around the neighborhood. We went down to the creek and, you know, got into trouble, whatever, played tackle football. A couple guys might break their arm. Like even my generation was still kind of into that. Does that even exist anymore? I don't know.
No, you know what? And I think the reason part of it doesn't exist in my day, I could stay out till midnight, no problem, running the streets. And we didn't have to worry about being molested and, you know, and kidnapped. Those things weren't things back then.
It's a safer country.
It's safer. And not only that, I grew up in Germany, and it was very safe, you know. And here in the U.S.
Germany's probably even worse now.
Yeah, and so now.
Definitely in some areas.
So now, you know, the sun goes down, you better have your kids in the house, you know, and you better keep an eye on them even when they're outside during the daytime. We got predators out there, you know. Now we're learning about all the sexual trafficking and what's happening to children. You know, so people were more guarded when it comes to their children. They would rather keep them in the house in front of a TV or a video game than let them go outside and play with their friends on the streets and stuff like that than we did growing up. So what is that? You know, it's a consequence of our society eroding, man. We've lost, you know, law and order and discipline, you know. We're watching it happen every day. People just do what the hell they want to each other. You know, they go out and murder somebody. It's 4 days before they get arrested. First, they got to get talked to by some psychologists and social workers. Okay, sir, we got to arrest you now because you killed your neighbor 4 days ago. I mean,
now they won't even let you discipline your kids.
Yeah.
You know, now if a father disciplines their kid in the wrong way, and look, obviously you can say that you could argue about limits, but I remember there was a story where there was a football player at the time, Adrian Peterson. He basically spanked his kid in public. I think he hit him with, like, he found a stick on the ground or something. He basically spanked him. And he just got shamed and ridiculed. It's like he's disciplining his son.
I know. I remember that happened. I mean, my dad.
I'm glad I got disciplined.
They beat the crap out of me in public, you know, if I just.
Are you traumatized?
No. I'm actually a better man for it, yeah, honestly, you know.
Exactly.
I really am.
Exactly.
So, you know, I sound like some kind of a crazed lunatic, but I'll tell you this. I've never been arrested. I got 2 speeding tickets my entire life. I've never been in trouble. You know, honorably discharged from the military, on and on and on.
All right, we're up against a break. I want to talk about some health stuff coming up because this is a major. I love talking about this stuff, and I think it comes along with making America great again.
Sure.
As you know, I am fighting the deep state to keep my broadcast on air. But if you simply support my sponsors, we will stay on the air one way or another. So I thank you for your past support. But I try to make it easy for you to support our sponsors by bringing you the very best products. This product, Optimal Human, is simply game-changing. Now, as you know, green superfoods for decades have been all the rage because they really work and because you absorb things better in the gut. And there's a lot of great ones out there. But ladies and gentlemen, Optimal Human has the highest quality ingredients, 90-plus ingredients. It does amazing things. I've been taking it for months, and I want you to get it. And understand this. Its leading competitor is amazing, and I've been using it and love it. But this has the same ingredients and even more, and is stronger, and it's the same serving amount but for a lower price. So the leading competitor, everybody knows their name. It starts with A and ends with G. This is amazing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get Optimal Human.
I didn't realize how good the VIP thing was. So when I saw this the other day, I said, I better talk about this. So if you're a member of the Alex Jones VIP Club at alexjonesstore.com/VIP, or there's just a big link at the top of the page, this is a critical time in our nation. We don't know what the future holds for the operation. The following information I'm about to relay to you is imperative so we can stay in touch, you can get great products, and keep me on the air one way or the other along with the crew. Monthly member credits. Every month as a VIP member, you get $40 of free store credit. Did you hear what I just said? That's right. It's like money in your pocket for the best products on the planet. So you pay $30 to be a VIP, and then you get $40 free. That's $10 you make. All the Alex Jones products at the best prices. We're talking about 10 to even 40% off the already existing sales. So sometimes becomes lost leaders in the store 24/7, 365 days a year. This is an unbeatable pricing you'll never find anywhere else. Automatic double entries in any of the giveaways, like the awesome turbo diesel super truck, $138,000 value, plus $1,000 cash. The winner of the sweepstakes will be announced on the 30th this month. You want to win? I know you do. As a VIP, you'll get double entries in every single giveaway. No effort, just double your chances, just like that. Exclusive VIP-only giveaways. This is where it gets big, folks. VIP members get entered into their own exclusive giveaways every month. Nobody else is allowed in these. Early access to products, promos, and giveaways. VIP members get first access to new products, promotions, and giveaways before anyone else. You're in the know. Oh, and did I mention orders over $99? Free shipping. We're not letting shipping costs slow you down. It just goes on from there. So, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Or just at the top of thealexjonesstore.com, you see the VIP button.
Hey, everyone. My name is John. I have been selected this month as the VIP of the month winner. Surprisingly, I received this check for $1,000 in the mail. And it was awesome. It really did surprise me. I had no idea that it was coming. And I wanted to say thank you to everybody at the Alex Jones store for taking care of us and getting our orders out quickly. Keep up the good fight.
We're fighting the new world order. I don't have millionaire backers. I am not controlled by anybody but my own soul, my own brain. I'm trying to do the best job I can. TheAlexJonesStore.com, it's up to you whether you want to back the number one broadcaster that the enemy hates the most. I mean, they literally hate my guts because they know I'm for real and I can't be bought and I can't be intimidated and I'm wild and I scare them.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
All right, the conversation is taking a turn, and I'm glad because I think this is important stuff because I think it all ties in, really. And when you talk about make America great again, yeah, there's a lot of political issues we got to deal with, cultural issues, but at a certain level, it starts local, and that's not just politically. It's also your own house, your own body, even. And you talk about the warrior mindset, and you get into health, and I know that you do some personal life coaching, some physical coaching with men as well, with your experience and things that you know. You can get into some of that too, and I'm sure there's more information here at DaleComstock.com, also on Instagram at Official American Badass, and you got so many stories to tell. But I'll start it with this. I had a guy who I run into at the gym frequently who just listens to the show, and you know, everybody's got their ideas. They went, hey, you got to talk about this, whatever. And you know, you listen. I like to listen. And he's like, hey, I've got the solution for men. I've got the solution. If we get men back, we can get the country back. And he says, we need to just get men on testosterone. And we can talk about testosterone being lowered and everything. And I didn't really think much of it. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I mean, But he's like, no. He's like, really, like testosterone, it'll solve all of our problems, man. There won't be any liberal men anymore if they just get some testosterone. Okay, you know, that's interesting. Well, then I see what's happened to Jeff Bezos. And you're kind of like a super Jeff Bezos, actually. You're like Jeff Bezos with the epic mustache. Jeff Bezos obviously probably isn't a conservative politically. Okay. But he's clearly been cycling testosterone. I mean, you can tell the difference. The guy's basically jacked now. Now all of a sudden he's like, hey, we need to hire conservatives at the Washington Post. Hey, we're not endorsing Kamala Harris. Maybe there's something there. You know, maybe I'm like, huh, oh, Jeff Bezos does 4 years cycling testosterone. All of a sudden, maybe he's MAGA. Maybe there's something there.
Now, there's a lot to be said for testosterone replacement therapy. I would definitely recommend it for guys over 45, for sure. It's a game changer because, you know, as you get older, your HGH levels start to really plummet, complete drop off in your 20s. Your testosterone levels start to wane as well. And there's a difference between testosterone and free testosterone, right? So you have to know what the differences are. But any sports nutrition doctor, most doctors that are open-minded about testosterone replacement therapy can sort that out for you. But it is a game changer. I do TRT, and I can tell the difference, definitely tell the difference if I'm taking it or not taking it. In fact, if I cycle off of it, I get very sensitive like a woman. I mean, really. Yeah, no, I'm not joking. You know, the funniest thing is you do a bodybuilding show, usually 30 days out. If you take any testosterone, you come completely off of it because it makes you hold water, a little bit of water, right? So you want to dry out, so to speak.
And do they test for that stuff, too?
They do test for it, right? But not
so
all
shows.
There's
like a levels?
Not all shows, right? So it depends on where, you know, if you're a pro or something like that. But even the pros are taking it, right? So, but what you really, the reason you get off of it is because it makes you hold water, so you have a full look. You want to have a dry vascular look, right? Striated look. And so you get off it for 30 days. And normally what happens after about 15 days, suddenly you go from having testosterone to no testosterone, but you still have a lot of estrogen. And literally all the emotions that come with it, you exhibit those, right? And it's the funniest thing. You go to a show, you look really good. You're muscular. You can't even lift up a coffee cup because you're so weak, and you want to cry about it.
This is funny. The life of a bodybuilder, a competitive bodybuilder.
I'm telling you, it's the weirdest phenomena. But you don't have to take a lot of it. You know, you can take it. You can actually, certain guys, you know, at a certain age, you can take it consistently at a lower dose. Won't have any side effects. And actually, it won't have any side effects as long as you do it properly, right? Do the blood testing, liver testing, things like that. Make sure your enzymes are in the normal ranges. But to me, it's one of the fountains of youth, so to speak, along with, you know, HGH. Of course, HGH has been banned unless you have some kind of you got a doctor to help you, or you have some other kind of issues with growth.
Well, and there's other ways to get it too. There's like the IGF-1.
Yeah, you can do
deer antler velvet and peptides. Stuff like that. Yeah,
they take longer, right? So that's the problem. It's just it takes a lot longer for you to get the effect. And how much effect you get is all kind of subjective.
Well, I would say, I mean, for me, obviously, you start to tell. I mean, you know, the recovery rate is what I noticed mostly from my 20s to my 30s. It's like the recovery rate, whether it's an injury or just lifting weights, like you can tell, like, okay, now I'm in my mid 30s. Like, yeah, it's different. It's different than when you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said 45 because when I get older, I would definitely want to take the TRT 100%, but I want to wait until I'm older. I don't want to jump on it too soon, you know, cause I can still do it. I can still get after it. It just takes a little more.
Right.
It just takes a little more. And I've kind of just given up like adding weight. I'm just like, you know what, this is where I'm at. I'm just going to hit this every day. Because if I start to add weight now, like I add weight on my legs, I'm, you know, walking around like a penguin or something. So I'm just really not into that anymore. But, you know, I can still get after it. I can still hit it. But yeah, I would say when I get into my higher 40s, that'll probably be when I think about it. But, you know, here's what you talk about. The same reason why I take all these supplements, it's the same reason, you know, people need to take testosterone or whatever it is. It's just the fact of our environment. It's the fact of our reality. Our foods have been depleted in nutrients. Most people don't have healthy diets. Certain chemicals and things we're exposed to in our environment deplete our testosterone. They make us have more estrogen. And so you have to do something about it. I mean, that's it. That's why I take supplements. That's why men need to consider, you know, whatever it is to get back to where they want to be. But, I mean, that's really what it is. You have to adapt to the environment that you're in. And I mean, people call it biohacking. I know that you talked about biohacking and other things that you encourage men to do.
Yeah, so those are all valid points. A couple of things. You're right. First of all, food, right? The worst food we can eat is all the food we're eating. And so I actually do carnivore diet, and I literally just eat meat. Eat meat, eggs, animal products. I don't eat any vegetables, no fruit. I won't lie. I have been taking carbohydrates since I've been traveling quite a bit lately. But normally, I'm strict carnivore diet. Never felt better in my life. Inflammation goes away. The reason people have high blood pressure, they have congestive heart failure, they have all these cardiovascular diseases, as well as Alzheimer's, these are all related to sugar. Sugar causes inflammation, water retention, what's called advanced glycation end products. It kills your nerve endings. This is why people with type 2 diabetes lose their limbs. Sugar is the worst thing we can put in our body. You might as well just put cocaine in your body. It's just, it tastes good. Well, it's natural, but so is cocaine. But doesn't mean it's good for you. Cut out all
processed sugar is even worse.
Yeah.
And the high fructose corn syrup,
all that's bad for you. You know, literally if you could just live off of, for example, I'll take 4 or 5 eggs in the morning with cheese, sausage in there. My wife will cook it for me. Maybe 6 hours later, I'll eat a sirloin steak. Medium well, I'll throw an air fryer, and then maybe that evening I'll eat another half.
You do the air fryer?
Yeah.
I have people that swear by it.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. Make sure you get the one that's
I can't believe you're saying that. I know people that swear by it. I haven't done it. But.
Get the one that's got stainless steel, not Teflon coating, because the Teflon coating loses all kinds of stuff. It's bad for you. It's toxic. But, it's great, and it's fast. And steaks come out great. But that's kind of what my diet looks like, And then no sugar at all. I'll drink tea, but I put stevia in it. I'm a big fan of stevia. It's 100, 400 times sweeter than sugar, and it's all natural, no chemicals. Stay away from aspartame. There's so much I could talk about as far as nutrition goes, but if you want to get healthy, you're going to have to do the work. There's a lot of information out there. Don't listen to all this other crap that's out there, right? First of all, the food pyramid by the government is completely wrong and upside down. Okay, they emphasize carbohydrates, minimize your red meat, no egg yolk. That's a bunch of bunk. Actually, there is no bad cholesterol, okay?
I'm so glad you said that. I literally had cholesterol written down next because I have probably a similar diet. I might not be as strict as you. Because I still will, once or twice a week I'll eat out and I'll just say, eat whatever you want. But for the most part, it's just steak and eggs. It's kind of boring, but it is what it is. I went, I was in a federal prison, and it's a prison where most people have long-term stays. So you have to go there and get a medical review because you might be there for years. You get a doctor, whatever. And they do a blood test and, everything was good. The one thing they came back at me was my cholesterol levels were high. And they're like, you have the cholesterol levels of a guy in his 60s about to have a heart attack, whatever. But, of course, everything else is good. Blood pressure was good, red blood cell count, white blood cell count, all of this stuff. And I kind of angered the doctor a little bit because I kind of pushed back a little. Doctors don't like being pushed back on, right, especially when you're with the medical establishment theories. And I'm like, wait, everything else was good in my blood? Like, yeah, perfect blood pressure, blood, heart rate, blood cell count, everything. I'm like, but the cholesterol's a problem. And it was kind of like, you don't question. I'm like, everything is good. Why are you telling me about cholesterol? Well, they tried to put me on a pill is why I pushed back. I think it was Lipitor is what she wanted to put me on. And I pushed back. I was like, I'm not getting that. She's like, well, you're setting yourself up for trouble if you don't take this. I'm like, you just said blood pressure, everything was good. So she kind of got a little upset. But I'm so glad you got into the cholesterol issue because this was another big thing that I think they use to scare men. And I know there's different types of cholesterols that maybe you need to monitor. But again, is this just like, I eat steak and eggs. I have a high cholesterol level. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
It's a good thing. This is a good thing, right? So, I've got several medical doctors that I coach, right? And they'll all admit they don't get any training in nutrition when they go to medical school, right? They're taught how to cut things out and give you drugs. That's what, pharmaceutical companies, fund these schools and stuff like this training. The reality is, ask yourself this, Eskimos, that's all they eat is cholesterol, fat and blubber and meat. And they got they're renowned for their healthy hearts. They don't get sick until they eat Western fare. When they come and start eating our food is when they start dropping off like flies, just like the rest of us. Cholesterol is not bad. In fact, the myelin in your brain is 100% cholesterol. Okay, your brain needs cholesterol. There's in fact, the cholesterol levels used to be back in the 50s, the standard was 300 plus, 300. Now, if you're hitting 180, it's too high.
That's what it was. I think I was at I don't remember the number. It was definitely over 180.
Yeah, and they want you down at 120.
She's like panicking me. She's like, oh my gosh, you need to take this pill.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. This is what really got me. She gets the blood results and she puts them on the table. She tells my cholesterol level, whatever it is, it's over 180. She's like, she gives me a little sheet, right? It's got your little sheet of everything that you need or whatever. And she's like, you need to, She's like, you really need to start exercising. I'm like addicted. Like, I don't do drugs or anything. Like, the serotonin I get from working out, like, I'm actually addicted to exercise. Like, if I don't exercise, like, I have, like, depression. It's, you know, maybe it's a good thing, maybe it's not. But literally, I will be depressed if I don't exercise because that's my way of getting serotonin is exercise. She's like, you need to exercise. I'm like, I exercise every day. Like, everything you're telling me is wrong.
Yeah. No, they got it wrong. They got it so wrong. You know, at the end of the day, cholesterol is good for you. There's no bad cholesterol. Studies have proven it over and over and over. The lower your cholesterol levels are, the more likely you are to suffer from heart attacks, cancer. There's many diseases. The reason people have congestive heart failure is not from cholesterol. They go, see, all the cholesterol is bound up in the blood vessel right here, clogged it up. No, the reason it got clogged up is because of the inflammation from the sugar. And there's one more thing called homocysteine. Homocysteine is basically what it does. You produce homocysteine every time you work out. You eat, you know, meats, things like that. You can actually get it from environmental pollutants and things like that. And homocysteine is a form of a free radical. And what it does is scars the interior of the blood vessel. So you get scarring inside the blood tissue, blood vessels, and you get inflammation. And so, yeah, the cholesterol won't fit through there. It gets bind up. And then when the heart attack happens, it goes, see, it was the cholesterol. Was it the cholesterol? No, it was actually the sugar and the homocysteine. Now, what is the antioxidant for the homocysteine? 200 milligrams or micrograms of folic acid, B complex, right, with 200 micrograms. That's actually the free antioxidant. You know, we talk about antioxidants like vitamin C and things like that, and people don't understand what that means. It's very
well. And here's what's amazing about this too: you're still doing things in your 60s that a lot of men by the time they're 40 can't do.
No, I'm 61 years old, and I, you know, I cheat a little bit. So when I say I cheat, yes, I take testosterone, and all I'm doing is basically augmenting my body with what it used to make. I'm just putting it back in there because I'm not ready to check out yet, right? Mother Nature says, hey, you've had kids. It's time for you to leave. And I'm like, no, I'm not leaving yet. And so I'm taking more drugs because I want to be around another 40 years. The other thing I take, and this is going to blow your mind, is stem cells, exosomes.
Now, people talk about that all the time.
Oh, my God, dude. And so I provide that, that regenerative therapy.
Well, you know, I'm sure the military has a bunch of crazy stuff that maybe you're not at liberty to talk about. I met a guy who was like top NFL nutritionist, recovery expert, like top guy. And I just so happened to meet him at a bar and he was a little saucy. And he was telling me, he was like, hey, you know, don't know. He was telling me some of the stuff that they get offered behind the scenes, that stuff they're doing. They're like, you know, nobody, and it's kind of frowned upon. And I'm like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, you know, how do these guys recover so fast? How are these guys able to look like super athletes and superhuman? they're pretty, anything out there that works, they're doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if they're actually getting stem cells. But I do know that sometimes they administer, testosterone therapy. Guys get hurt, you know, testosterone helps recovery rates, things like that. Right. So, doesn't have to be a gross amount, but small amounts of testosterone. I'm not sure if they're doing stem cells. The problem with stem cells is most people can't afford it, but the reality is they're getting ripped off. You know, most clinics, I mean, they're charging $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $70,000 for stem cell therapy. I actually give it for $7,000 total, max $7,000, and it's five times more than any clinic will do. It's kind of a shameless plug, but I'm putting that out there because one of my missions is to help people, right? And so we talked about security earlier. I go get people, I bring them back. You know, I find kids, I bring them back. I find people that are missing.
Yeah, this is the kind of crazy stuff we were talking about in the break. It's just like, yeah, you can do this stuff. Again, you look at the average male. We talk about this. You look at the average male by the time they're 40. I mean, quite frankly, they have man boobs. Their gut is hanging over their belt line.
Yeah, and most of it's diet. Did you know that 97% of all the diseases that man suffers from is all nutritional based? In fact, after the turn of industrial revolutions, cancer was almost unheard of. And now we're at actually 20 years ago, it was 1 in 4 people will get cancer. Now it's 1 in 2 people will get cancer. You know, obviously cardiovascular disease didn't exist really at all before the Industrial Revolution. Now it's one of the top killers in America. Now, you know, Alzheimer's. Now they just came out and admitted it's actually type 3 diabetes. Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. What's that related to? Sugar, right? Carbohydrates. We're not designed for that. We're designed to eat maybe 4 grams of carbohydrates a day, and that's it. And the government's telling you to take 300 grams a day. This is why read the food pyramid the government puts out, because I actually believe the United States government is complicit in killing millions of Americans, in fact, around the world now, because of this.
Well, in multiple ways.
Yeah, because of the food, you know, they're endorsing, you know, there's, you know, like I said, diabetes, there's cancer, heart disease. Now we have the cognitive diseases, right? Now it's getting linked back to sugar and also these artificial sweeteners like aspartame and things like that, right? These are chemical sweeteners, and they're bad for us because what they do is they affect insulin a different way than sugars do, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, here's my frustration, too, when we talk about this, or I try to talk about this with other people or people who want to claim to be experts or whatever. And I say, you know what? Throw everything out, right? Throw everything out. I'm the science, okay? Forget about that. You be the science. I be the science. I look at you. You're the science. So that's what really gets me when people want to debate this stuff. I mean, you look at the health experts these days. I mean, some of them are comical. I don't know if you've seen some of these.
Oh, yeah.
There's some in Europe. I mean, look, we're talking about 300-pound women that look like a box fridge, okay? I mean, like gremlin-ish. Like you drew them up in a cartoon. Rachel Levine. Exactly. So that's the thing. Oh, you know, well, I read this and the studies say, throw it all out the window. Yeah. You be the science.
Exactly.
I'm the science.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a walking laboratory. And, you know, I'm not from Missouri, but show me. And so what I do is I test a lot of things, you know, to see what works. And like I said, I'm 61 years old. I'm probably in the same, I'm actually stronger than I've ever been in my whole life. And I've always been a really good athlete. I was a professional boxer, competitive bodybuilder, and my whole life has been centered on athleticism. And what I've learned was over the years through trial and error that all the things I thought were good for me, everybody promoted, you know, you got to eat your vegetables, you got to have this, you got that, and a lot of carbohydrates, no red meat, was all wrong. And once I reversed all that, now I feel so much better. As soon as I started a carnivore diet almost in March, it'll be 2 years ago. Within 6 weeks, I lost 32 pounds. My inflammation went away. My knees felt better. My eyesight got better. I just felt better, more lucid, more functional. Like, wow, I'm like completely renewed. I've played with it a little bit. I said, okay, now let me get off of it and start taking some sugar. Sure enough, I start getting goofy. I forget things. My eyesight got bad again. The inflammation started coming back. So I realized, yeah, it's the carbohydrates. If I cut those out, then, you know, I'll be healthy. You don't need carbohydrates. We're not designed for that. You know, people think we're omnivorous like chimpanzees and apes. Actually, we're not. Why? Because if you look at, for example, our appendix is like that long, right? But the appendix in a chimpanzee or a gorilla is like that long. It's designed to eat, you take fiber, right? And break that down. We're not designed that, you know, and I always jokingly tell people, look at any cave drawing, right? Cavemen, do you ever see a salad bar on there? You just see them killing an antelope, right? And so, you know,
the cave drawings for salad bars. I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're designed to eat meat. There's nothing wrong with it. Lots of people have lived, I mean, they live fine. I live great on it. I actually feel better now on a carnivore diet than I ever do. Have more energy. I don't crave carbohydrates after 3 days. Once I start, done. Don't need it no more. I don't have to eat a lot, one or two times a day. And it's kind of nice, you know, I save a lot of money on food, you know, especially at these prices today. But there's a lot of things you can do. One is change your diet. Two, you're right, exercise. Did you know that exercise is actually the best pill or best medicine for longevity? You can still smoke and eat garbage, but if you're exercising rigorously, at least 30 minutes a day, five times a week, you'll still extend your life. You'll outlive the guy that doesn't exercise, that's not smoking and eating garbage. The best muscles you can work on your body, your legs, because your legs actually help produce testosterone, right? Testosterone, there we go, that word again. Leg strength is key to longevity. Most people that end up in assisted living homes, it's because they have lost their leg strength. They can't even get off the toilet no more, right? And they break their legs very easily. So leg strength is super important. If you work out your legs, it'll actually build the rest of your body. Just a testosterone surgeon. And yeah,
women. Because I read up on this too. Even if you're doing, like, if you want to do arm and leg day, you should even still start and finish with at least some form of a leg exercise.
Yeah.
Because I forget the word is, but there's more, for men, it's different than women. Women have more in their lower body, men have more in their upper body, but it's the receptors that help you build strength. Women have more of them in their lower body, men have more in their upper body. So you kind of have to hit your lower body first and second, or first and last, to kind of get it all flowing.
Right. Absolutely. Like you said earlier in the show, you know, we're not all equal. Men and women are different. And so, you know, but essentially, basically, we're still the same. But there's a different methodology for attacking body parts. You know, if I had to make recommendations, what to do now if you want to live a healthier life is cut out all the carbohydrates, all of them. It's going to be tough for the first 3 days. You'll get over it. If you feel like I got to really have something, you know, I make a gallon of iced tea with stevia in it. It gives me that sweet taste, although I'm not stimulating insulin. I'll drink that. I'll eat boiled eggs and eat steak, and that'll carry me for 3 days. After 3 days, I don't want any carbohydrates. Now I'm good to go. Now I'm on a carnivore diet, burning just fat, and then exercise. Just lifting weights. I only work out about 45 minutes a day, maybe five times a week. I go in very quick. I do maybe one day I'll just do all pushing exercise. The next day I'll do all pulling exercise. And one day I'll just do leg exercise and cardio, like bag work or something like that. As far as supplementation, I do take vitamins every day that include herbs and minerals. I don't know if I should endorse any particular brand here, but I do take a particular brand. I've been taking it for 25 years, and it's worked so far. I do take testosterone replacement therapy. I do about 250 milligrams a week of testosterone. It's kind of high just for a maintenance dose, but it seems to work. And again, I manage everything, my blood pressure, swelling. Those are pretty good indicators, swelling around my ankles, things like that. And then stem cells, exosomes. I don't do that on a regular basis because it's not affordable to do that. But I would highly recommend at least once a year if you can. Put that in your budget. That's a game changer in and of itself.
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, and I'm sure you know, what we do here at InfoWars, you know, combating the fake news, combating the political corruption, everything like that. Before I was ever even into that, I was way more into the health stuff. So before I kind of had my political awakening, I had my health awakening. And they're kind of parallels, right? It's two different worlds, but it's like it's the same approach. It's like, hey, the mainstream media is lying to you. Hey, the mainstream health establishment is lying to you. So it's like they're two different worlds, but they're totally parallel. And it's just like once it clicks, you realize, wow, okay, I got to start making my own decisions. I got to start doing my own research. And, you know, it's a much healthier way to live. So to me, that's why I anticipated in talking politics with you, geopolitics, election. What do you know? We spent most of the time on health. But to me, that's just so important. You can't have one without the other.
Yeah, no, they're interrelated. And like I said in the beginning of the show, you know, men have become very emasculated. And part of the reason is because of the diet. The other thing is xenoestrogens, right? So we have xenoestrogens in water bottles, plastics. Yep. We take in too many estrogens that our body cannot process out. And why do you think men have high incidence of prostate cancer and women have high incidence of breast cancer because of all these estrogens? We're getting loaded with estrogens from food.
We're out of time. People can learn more at DaleComstock.com and his Instagram account at Official American Badass. And he truly is the American Badass. Your proof is right there. Dale, thank you so much for your time. Safe travels, thanks, brother. Appreciate you. All right, sure. We will get into the election on the other side. I promise you.
Why don't we stop pushing pills on people and start pushing the red pill on people? Because the red pill is the only drug that can cure this mental illness, that can cure things like gender dysphoria, that can cure things like depression, that can cure things like involuntary celibacy, that can cure things like racism, that can cure things like World War III itself. The cure to all diseases, all illnesses, is the red pill. And the best place to get your endless supply of the red pill is band.video, is infowars.com/show, is following at Real Alex Jones on InfoWars, is going to the alexjonesstore.com/VIP and signing up for $30 a month to get $40 a month. Hell, it's not even an expense. It's an investment practically. You buy one shirt a month, you keep us on the air. If we had 20,000 people sign up for the alexjonesstore.com/VIP, for the Alex Jones VIP Club. If we had 20,000 people sign up for that VIP Club, Alex Jones would always be on the air, even if he had to refer to himself legally as the broadcaster formerly known as Alex Jones. There's a reason Prince didn't stop making records after his identity was stolen from him. It's because he was so good and he had such a loyal following and fan base that they couldn't shut him down. They couldn't silence him. They couldn't own him because he had enough support. We need you, just like you need us, just like you need the truth. The truth needs you. Please go to the alexjonesstore.com/VIP. If you buy anything or sign up for anything, do that because it is going to be forever.
Hey, everyone. My name is John. I have been selected this month as the VIP of the month winner. Surprisingly, I received this check for $1,000 in the mail, and it was awesome. It really did surprise me. I had no idea that it was coming, and I wanted to say thank you to everybody at the Alex Jones store for taking care of us and getting our orders out quickly. Keep up the good fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.